Welcome to Footcast episode 47. I'm your host this week, Daniel Flamekonda Worthington. This week, forming a Triforce of Awesome, representing the Triforce of Power, we have Vuk.
Hello.
And the Triforce of Wisdom, and really angry because it's hot outside, James.
Hi.
As usual, a fair bit to talk about today, so let's get straight into it with games played. Vuk, you can just start us off.
I actually have some games played for once.
Okay.
Plus, we haven't done the podcast for a while, sorry.
A month.
Yeah, month, whatever. Scribblenaut.
Cool.
Been playing that. Everyone knows about that. I don't find the controls as hard as some people, so I gave...
I think people are whining about it for the sake of whining about it.
I think they just want to... tall poppy syndrome, basically.
I'll admit, it would have been better with D-pad controls, but I don't mind the controls as they are. Kind of reminds me of an old point-and-click adventure, sort of.
Yeah, no, they should have done the D-pad for at least controlling him around, I think.
Yeah, but...
Yeah. Anyway, but Mario and Luigi, Bowser's Inside
Story. Hey, just on Scribblenaut, so you're still playing it, or did you sort of stop playing it after you got it?
No, I'm still playing it because I bought a copy of it, and then my review copy showed up. I gave that one to Nick, and I had to start again.
I haven't really played it a lot since I've got it, but it's a good one to go back to every now and then.
Yeah, it's like a time waster, basically.
Yeah.
And if you're really bored, you can just use the sandbox mode and do crazy things.
Oh, yeah, I think that's what most people waste their time.
Yeah.
You weren't too keen on it, were you, James?
No, I did. I liked it, but I think that I probably didn't get into it as much as everyone else did. I do see it more as a time waster, but I don't have much time to waste at the moment, so it's not very effective for me as a time waster. But, I mean, yeah. It's really, I think the technology behind it is really good, and the controls are a bit iffy, but I just haven't had enough time to actually play it completely.
Kind of feel sorry for it that it got all that hype leading up to the release, because it got a lot of hype, and then it came out, and a lot of people were like, that's it.
Yeah.
And there seems to be a fair bit of hate going around for it.
It's still weird how everyone was looking forward to it, and it is a little bit quiet. So,
it came out and it just dropped dead right away.
Well, I wouldn't say it flopped, but I'd say a lot.
No, it didn't flop, but just people started hating on it.
Yeah, that delay that they did for the Europe regions probably killed off a few thousand sales as well, because a lot of people went, oh, okay, alright, I might skip that one.
It's not the best game on the DS, but I think it's one that everyone who owns a DS needs to own.
Yeah.
Because it's a really, really good game. And one that I think everyone can enjoy, but you're only going to enjoy it as much as you're willing to put into it.
Yep. And if you suck at creativity like me, you're not going to get content out of it. All right, next game, Mario & Luigi Bowser's Inside Story.
Yep.
I'm not very far into it, because being an RPG, I don't have much time to play it, but I'll get there eventually. So far, it's funny as hell, so...
Definitely better than Partners in Time.
Oh, I hated that one. I like the Game Boy one, but I didn't like the last DS one. That's out next week as well. We'll probably be out by the time this is out, so... So we didn't have to wait that long for that one. Next is Dead Space Extraction, which was, we got leaked out early. Well, not leaked out, that was on sale, and EA didn't like that, and we got in a bit of trouble, but whatever, because we put video up of it. But it's basically Dead Space on rails, but in SD, just as good. It's not a downgraded Wii port like everything else. You know, nearly everything else that comes out in the way.
Are they still calling it a first-person guided adventure, or is it now just on rails?
That's what it is. It's an adventure game. It is a rail shooter, but it's not like House of the Dead, where it's like an arcade game. There's no, you know, scoring system.
Okay.
No, I don't think there is, no.
No, there is, but it's not really integral to the whole game.
Yeah, and you only see it at the end, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a level, basically.
So it's probably more about the storyline than House of the Dead is?
It is.
Yeah.
I think that EA's little marketing term that they coined for it is probably really accurate. It is. Does feel like more of like a guided experience than like just an on-rail shooter.
Yeah.
And no guy trying to crawl back into his mother or anything at the end, like House of the Dead?
Definitely. No, nothing like that.
Cool.
Still pretty gory, though, but not as gory, I don't think.
Yeah, definitely not a story.
Yeah, also played Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Smash Up, which is very inspired by Brawl.
It's the same team, isn't it?
They're made by Game Arts, the same guys, basically. Very funny. I found the guys move a bit slow, but I've only played as a turtle so far, so they might be slow characters anyway. And it doesn't have, like, the same fluidity as Brawl, that you can, like, jump up a level and then slide underneath the stage down to the next level and hop around. But there's a wealth of modes in it. There's like arcade missions, survival. It's got online. I think like the online even got like the intermission before the fight, like Brawl does. It's very similar to Brawl. So I mean, Brawl's probably still the better game, but very good effort there. And that was only like $60 as well. So. It was a cheap one.
The thing, just because, I mean, I was a huge Turtles fan as a kid.
Same here.
The thing that sort of, and even now, I guess, the original movies are still pretty alright. The thing that annoys me about it is just the character list. It looks, I mean, they should have gone what they did with Smash and just use all of the Ninja Turtle characters. It seems like they're only using the recent ones from, like, that CG movie that came out.
Yeah, and
the Rabbids from,
And the Rabbids, which...
Yeah, I haven't unlocked any of them yet. Yes.
But like, there's no Bebop and Rocksteady or Baxter Stockman or anything like that.
No.
It'd just be cool if they... So they could have done what Brawl did and just give everyone alternate costumes to look like they did in the old cartoon series and add in all these characters. It would have been awesome.
Was Shredder known as The Shredder as well?
I can't remember.
Yeah, because they referred to him as The Shredder, so I thought that was a bit weird. Anyway...
Remember, he was Super Shredder in the second
movie. That's like 80s kids talking, complaining. Next one, Drawn to Life, the next chapter on the way.
Okay.
Actually surprisingly good, so, even though Fifth Cell had nothing to do with it and didn't want to do it. In fact, there was an interview on Gamasutra about it. Jeremiah had no interest in doing the Wii title. So in that spirit, I didn't think it would be any good, but it's actually quite good. It's, I mean, it's not, you know, groundbreaking or anything. The drawing is a bit harder due to the Wii remote rather than the stylus. Also played Mario...
Have you played, just before we go, have you played the DS one at all?
The original...
No, the new DS
not
one.
Not the new DS one, only the original, which I can't remember, so...
Okay.
Next was Mario Power Tennis, the new Play Control version. That was like $20 at Big W, so I got that for cheap. I've got like 6 tennis games on the Wii now, so I don't know why. But not as good as Grand Slam Tennis control-wise, but it's got all the power shots and stuff like that. Plug the nunchuck in when you play it, because if you play it just like Wii Sports mode, it's pointless. And you can't even control when you do power shots. And lastly, Wii Fit Plus. I've been having a go at that. And basically, it's exactly the same as Wii Fit, just with more stuff in it. Like, the interface is all very similar, you know, 99% the same. But all the new games that they've added are pretty cool. And now I don't need to buy Skate It, because there's a skating thing in there. And that's pretty fun. I like how it has on the box, it has like a big orange bar at the bottom that says new. Like, people are going to be dumb enough not to know that it's different. But,
You do know the people who buy Wii Fit and all that nowadays?
Not all of them, but some of them, yeah. The lowest common denominator you got to go for now. And I've got Mario and Sonic at the Winter Games and Spy Books, but I haven't played them yet.
James?
I've only been playing...
Sweltering away in the heat there?
Yeah, I've only been playing one game really on Nintendo-wise, and that was Kingdom Hearts 358 Days Over 2.
Whatever it's called.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it's called, because it makes sense story-wise. But anyway...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's really, like, it does a really good job of carrying over the whole entire look of the series and stuff, and but the problem is, almost all of the Disney references and the Final Fantasy references are gone. To give you an idea, you go to Agrabah, you go to all these places that you've probably been to in all the older Kingdom Hearts games. If either of you played the Kingdom Hearts game?
Sorry?
Either of you played the Kingdom Hearts game?
I've never played, I mean, I've played the bit of the Game Boy one... a little bit before, but not the PlayStation 2 ones. I wanted to.
Yeah, because, I mean, half the appeal of the series for me was the Disney characters and how they weave them into the storyline with the original characters and stuff. But this one focuses on, like, events before the very first game, and then during... It basically goes stuff before all the games and then ends at the end of the latest game to come out, which is Kingdom Hearts 2.
Yeah.
It covers quite a bit of story, but it looks at a character completely different to the main character in the original two games.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's really, really good in that it covers the story for people who really want to know what was going on, but people who play it, like, the gameplay has transitioned really well to the DS. I was quite surprised how similar it was and how well they brought it across, but it does feel kind of empty. It's still, like, I'd say it's still one of the best RPGs available on the Nintendo DS, but it is missing the
charm. Which there are a lot.
Like, yeah, it is missing the charm of the original games, which is a bit of a shame.
Yeah.
The lack of Disney and stuff.
I mean, I was always interested, as I've never owned a PlayStation, so I always looked at those really hoping they may have come out for a game, the GameCube or something. And I was excited when I heard there was one on the DS. I've picked it up. I haven't played a lot of it. I think I got to the tutorial stuff and just had other stuff to do. But it's just really disappointing that they didn't go with more of the final. Like, it would have been cool if they could have tied in some of the Final Fantasy characters who've been on DS, like Cecil or...
Yeah, I know. Like, it would be good, but I've noticed a lot of the stuff is actually pretty much rehashed from the original two games. You don't really visit many new worlds or encounter new characters, which is a shame.
So it looks like Square just sort of phoned it in on this one and didn't bother.
I mean, I still think it's a really good game, but it just doesn't, compared to the older Kingdom Hearts game, it's not as good. But
yeah.
I think that, well, which is a really sad thing, I think that what they're doing is they're saving all their new content for the PSP one, because I've looked at the stuff for that, and there's so much new, there's a lot more new stuff in that that wasn't in any of the other games. It's a shame.
Which just sort of doesn't make sense. I mean, like, the DS is my successful console this generation, and you'd think you'd want to put your most effort in the game that's coming out on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm not hating the PSP or anything, but it's falling way behind on the DS, and yet they're going to put the most... I mean, Square's been doing a bit of that lately. Look at Dissidia and Crisis Core and all that, and they're trying really hard on the PSP, but stuff for the DS sort of does seem a bit like a...
Yeah. To be fair, the graphics are quite good. Very.
Oh, yeah. It looks amazing.
The 3D on the DS is very good, and the FMV is a nice, as you would expect from a Square game. But,
yeah.
I've said this a million times, but it just doesn't feel as good as the other original games. And to be honest, it left me, because I finished it, and I was quite happy with how they handled the story, but I was left wanting more, which is probably what they want me to do, so I buy the PSP one.
So for someone like me who's never played a Kingdom Hearts game before, am I going to enjoy it as much as someone who has played it, who has played them before, or...?
I think I've said this to you before, but if you haven't played any Kingdom Hearts games before, and you play this one and you don't like it, don't shun the other two games, because this one is specifically adapted to be Square did do a good job at adapting it to a handheld, making it very handheld friendly, because it's mission based now and stuff like that. But all the other games aren't like that, so if you were to play this as your first Kingdom Hearts game and you didn't like it, I'd still say to give the other ones a go.
Yeah.
As for, like, whether you should play the other ones first, probably it would be good to.
Okay.
Because story-wise, there are quite a few tie-ins that make a lot of sense if you play the original game.
Does it go to Pirates of the Caribbean?
No.
Damn it, not happening. What about,
That's only in Kingdom Hearts 2.
What about Nightmare,
Halloween Town?
Okay. Yeah, Halloween Town.
Yeah, you do go to Halloween Town.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah, it is quite cool.
Do they tie Pixar stuff in with them as well, or is that not really Disney?
No, they haven't to date. Not yet. It's a shame because they've got so many Disney characters and stuff to use, but they just keep using the same, you know, five worlds and stuff.
Yeah. And Disney does have a huge back catalogue, like with like Robin Hood and Sword in the Stone and all that they could be going back to.
Yeah, true. But anyway.
But nothing else? Nothing on the Wii or...
I'm trying to think. No.
No survival horror stuff to talk about this week?
No.
Okay, cool. So that just leaves me. Me playing Scribblenauts, already touched with that. Mario & Luigi Vux took the bit about that. I'm really enjoying that as well. Probably definitely up there with Henry Hatsworth as the best DS game I've played this year. As Vux said, the comedy is spot on. Luigi is just still amazing in it. I'm loving playing as Bowser. His special attacks are awesome. The Mario & Luigi games are really good intro RPGs for people who don't really like RPGs, just because they feel that the battles are a lot more interactive with the dodging and powering up. Anyone agree, or is this going to be quiet?
I haven't played it. I couldn't say anything.
Vuk?
Say what?
So, you're not listening. You're not the biggest RPG fan in the world?
Not really. JRPG, anyway.
But you enjoy... What is it about the Mario & Luigi RPGs that you enjoy over other RPGs?
That they're not just boring, and they actually got fun things to do.
Yeah, because battle's a lot more interactive. It's not just you selecting an attack, you've also got to dodge and carry stuff out, which just seems to make the pace move a lot faster.
Yeah.
And Bowser's Inside Story, how good does it look?
Very good. It's all 2D. No 3D at all.
I love how I just keep, like, they're really pushing 2D graphics this generation. Like, you look at Muramasa and this. They're doing a great job of it. But yeah, awesome game. Definitely pick that up when it comes out next week. Also playing a bit of Professor Layton 2 and the, what is it here, Pandora's Box?
Yeah.
Have you been playing that at all, Vuk?
A little bit. I got started it, but then never got back to it, so.
Where are you up to?
The chef in the train.
Okay, so you've got the hamster thing.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'm a bit further on. I think I've reached the second town or something off the train. But yeah, I mean, if you love the first one, go pick this up. If you haven't played the first one, go pick it up. Go pick up the first one first and then play it, because the storyline, it does continue on from the first one.
Does it?
And it's, yeah, it's going to spoil a lot of stuff. If you play the second one first, it's going to spoil a lot of stuff from the ending of the first one.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's a much better game. The graphic, I mean, the cutscenes look amazing. There's a lot more talking. The puzzles feel a bit better. I can't remember if I really talked about this last episode or not, but yeah, definitely check that out. Just before I go on, James, did you want to mention something else about Kingdom Hearts with the multiplayer?
Okay, yeah. I just wanted to say something about the multiplayer. The multiplayer in Kingdom Hearts is actually quite enjoyable. I had a friend come over with his DS and we played against... Well, you play, like, the same missions that you do in single player, but you can choose... There's about... It works out to be about, I think, about 15 to 18 unlockable characters,
yep,
including Mickey himself. Yeah, you just get to do these missions with co-op and it's quite fun to play.
It's not online?
No, it's not online, unfortunately, which is another reason that I'm a bit annoyed, because PSP one is online. When they bring that out, it's not online, unfortunately. But it is quite fun if you can find someone else to play with, because each of the characters has their own distinct fighting style and distinct weapons, so it mixes it up a bit.
Gee, with sort of games like that, are you interested in the new Phantasy Star Zero game coming out soonish?
No.
Because that's online and it looks sort of similar gameplay-wise.
I mean, I would be, but I just can't invest. I don't have the time to invest into an online game, which is why I'm not interested in, like, Borderlands and stuff as well. But, yeah.
Okay. not until Monster Hunter 3 comes out.
Maybe. If it's free.
Sorry?
If it's free.
Get to that in a little bit. Something I just sort of picked up again because I really felt like it. I mean, age since I played it. Not going to talk about it too long because they'll probably kill me. Dragon Quest Heroes Rocket Slime. You hate it, don't you? Have you played it, James?
Maybe.
It doesn't even have a DSi. How could you play it?
It's on DS. Rocket Slime. The one I always seem to talk about, and everyone goes off me for talking about it. Picked that up again for the hell of it and started playing it for 2 or 3 hours. I didn't bother saving, and then I closed my DS lid and I opened it up and it had turned itself off. So I stopped playing after that. But at least I got to the first tank battle, which is awesome. Also, played a bit of Dragon Quest Wars on DSi. I'm still in the tutorial stuff. Have you played a lot of it, Vuk, or not really?
No, I only got it in Japanese, so I don't understand what the hell's going on.
It's okay. It's made by the guys who did Advanced Wars and the Fire Emblem games. It's okay. I think it just sort of feels a bit shallow, but I probably want to get more into it before I comment on it. Before last podcast, I finished Partners in Time. I'm getting ready for Bowser's Inside Story. Before I played Bowser's Inside Story, though, I started playing Super Mario RPG on the Virtual Console. It's a hell of a lot better than I first thought it was, despite the fact it's got all these random characters no one's ever heard of, like Mallow and Geno and all that crap. But
I was enjoying that.
Sorry?
I love Mallow. He's cool.
Yeah, but he's just never been around before, and I'm like, who are you, and why are you doing Final Fantasy attacks?
Forgotten Cousin.
Kind of. I'm loving the music for it. That's really good. Might have that in the breaks for this episode. Yeah, definitely check that out if you're on the Virtual Console. And one last thing is Metroid Prime Trilogy.
Hooray!
Yeah.
Crappy Australian edition.
What's so bad?
We were playing it like a month ago almost.
Whatever, I waited for the Australian one to come out.
Why?
Because I wanted to. And then I realised I should wait for more Australian stuff because I got the Nintendo Stars thing. Ooh, almost got that stylus set I want to get.
I got 3,800 points and I got nothing there that I want to spend it on. They're better.
Have you got the Game Watch collection?
Why would I get that?
I don't know, because it's rare.
I've got the Game Watches on DSi wear from Japanese store.
Okay, fine. Metroid, I've only just plugged that in last night and playing a bit of it this morning. I'm just starting on Metroid. The controls make it a lot more accessible. I'm just trying to find the right sensitivity. It's been a long time since I played an FPS on the Wii, and just getting my head around the controls again. But it plays really well. It's still, like, Metroid Prime 1 still looks really good. And as soon as I finish that, I can start getting into 2 and 3. So I think I'm only about an hour into it, so I'm pretty much where I was last time I gave up on it.
Do you know if the effects are in it that are missing, apparently, from the US version?
See, I don't know what the effects are I'm looking for. Like, wasn't the water meant to...
One of them, okay, what? One of them, when you're in morph mode, move through the water and see if you, like, the water moves with you. Does that make sense?
Yep.
and that's the only one I can think of from the top of my head.
That was about it, I think.
Oh, when you get the ice beam as well, charge it, and then see if the actual cannon... You know how when in the original hurt, like, the actual cannon froze over a bit when you were charging it?
Yeah.
You try that when...
That wasn't in the US version.
Apparently not.
I know. All I noticed is that when I landed on Talon for the first time, I was just... As I said, the graphics look really good, but then I just saw the textures on Talon, and I'm like, these look really like a Nintendo 64 planet. Uh-huh. Looks kind of good, but not...
You mad?
The textures look awful.
Well, that's what happens when you have a GameCube game in 2009. Yeah. Get over it.
I know.
The music...
Star Fox Adventure looked awesome.
Yeah, I know. We'll never see it again. That looks better than half the Wii games released nowadays.
I miss Rare, kind of.
I don't miss...
Although,
I
the quality of...
I don't miss Rare, because everything they put out since they went to Microsoft has been basically 6 out of 10.
Grabbed by the goodies.
Oh, except for Banjo-Kazooie, the Xbox Live Arcade remake. And
which is just an N64 game.
Also, when is that Perfect Dark coming out? Isn't it meant to be out in October? Bastard.
November.
November.
December.
I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to that.
I want it now.
December, January, February. That's the only date they've given us. Anyway.
I honestly think that's and started playing a bit more Chrono Trigger again. Up to where am I up to? I've just beaten Magus for the first time back in prehistoric times. Finish that sooner or later. So take a quick break. A little bit of news to cover, and then after that we'll bit of a quick hot topic. So we'll see you after the break. So, yeah, news. A few important things to talk about. A couple of weeks back, Nintendo updated the Wii system menu. So, yeah, new update for the menu came out a couple of weeks ago, version 4.2. The update, which is mandatory if you're able to get to the shop channel.
Has already been cracked.
It's already been cracked. It got cracked in 2 days after it came out.
Yeah.
So, this update, and there seems to be no real noticeable changes with the Wii after this update, unless, of course, you have installed the Homebrew channel on your Wii. If you have the Homebrew channel installed, the update will delete it from your system. Other than that, nothing else seems to be happening.
Yeah, and basically, even if you don't have the Homebrew channel, it can brick your Wii anyway.
Getting to that.
Yeah.
The main reason seems to be that Nintendo's finally acting on the Homebrew channel seems to be due to a story G4 TV did a couple of weeks ago about the marvels of the Homebrew channel and how you can play all these awesome games on it for free.
Are these games
Thank
free,
you,
are
G4.
They? Sorry? Are these games free, are they?
Apparently, that's what G4 TV said. But yeah, as Vuk said, one of the side effects of the 4.2 seems to be the bricking of Wii systems. At first, it seemed like only a few with the Homebrew channel installed were bricking, but now many non-Homebrew channel users are reporting the same problem with their system as soon as they update it. So, congrats on Nintendo for finally acting on the piracy stuff, but
nice.
You're morons because you're destroying your system. Book?
Yeah, what?
Anything you want to say about it?
Oh, no, I pretty much said it. My gist. Nintendo are going to keep trying to clamp on it. And, I mean, they should clamp on the pirate stuff, or they should just build a console that can't be pirated like the PS3.
I mean, I'm... Bloody G4 TV, they should have known better than to do that. That's just...
Yeah, I would expect that they're going to be getting a few... sorry, you're not invited to events anymore type sort of things.
That's bullcrap. And Nintendo was fine... I think Nintendo was fine with just letting people use it as long as... They seem to be only a minority, but then when a big show like that tells everyone about it, they've got to act on it. I've got the Homebrew channel on my Wii. I might use it to play some... That's the thing. People go off me for having... Because you know how much I hate the flashcards for DS.
Yeah.
And, I'll admit, I do play some Super NES ROMs on the Homebrew channel. But that doesn't stop me buying... Like, as soon as a game comes on the virtual console that I want, I'll still buy that. It's just I use the Homebrew channel for stuff like Earthbound, which I can't play because Nintendo's not going to give it to me.
I can't play any Reason games. That's the only reason I use it.
That as well, which is actually something Nintendo promised the Wii was originally going to be when they started talking about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean,
among other stuff,
I have a mod chip. Does that make me a pirate? No.
No.
I've only got a mod chip because the homebrew channel wasn't as advanced as it was in 2008.
I mean, I've never pirated a Wii game. I've never pirated a DS game. As I said, I'll admit I play Super NES ROMs, but I think pretty much everyone else, or NES ROMs, everyone else does as well. But again, if it comes out on the Wii Shop, I will buy it. Like,
I mean, I've got 250, 300 cartridges in my my brother's wardrobe. What am I meant to do? Every time I want to play one of them, pull it out.
Does Nico just have like a sleeping bag on the floor, and you're just using his room to store all your video game stuff?
No, he's got like this huge wardrobe on the wall, and all of the above the wardrobe is storage. There, there's like all the 64 games and everything all folded up out there.
Yeah, I've got heaps of Super Nintendo games. Am I not allowed to back them up so I can play them on the good TV, other than the little TV hiding in the corner with a Super Nintendo hooked up to it?
Until last year, it was illegal to VCR your favourite TV show. So, whatever.
What happened last year?
They changed the law, so you could...
Okay. Everyone did it.
Yeah, basically, if you had a VCR and taped TV, you were a pirate, by law.
Arr. So, I mean, this update's been there for about 3 weeks now, I guess, and Nintendo's not really done anything to respond to it.
They won't.
At first they said, the only reason your system's bricking is because you've got the, modified software or whatever on it.
Yeah.
Now that people are calling them out, they are saying, well, send us back your system and we'll check it over and fix it for you if we deem it our problem.
Yeah, I mean, if Nintendo ever got to the point where my Wii got bricked, I wouldn't send it to them because they probably wouldn't fix it.
Having said that, I mean, the only thing you can't do without the update is go to the Wii Shop, and honestly, if you're an Australian, there's nothing much to check out there because we don't get Lost Winds 2, and Europe does, which I still want to know why that happened. That's bullcrap.
Yeah, same. I'm going to email Frontier and find out. It's rated, I think, though, isn't it?
I'd imagine so. It just makes no sense for it to not come out down here.
Yeah.
New Nintendo DS details have emerged. Reports out say that NVIDIA Tegra chip will be powering the next DS model, which is set to be unveiled in 2010. The rumour is that the next generation DS is to be powered by a similar chip to that which is currently powers the Zune HD, NVIDIA's Tegra system on a chip. These chips are not only energy efficient, but would also allow Nintendo to keep backwards compatibility with the current DS and DSi library. The graphics and extra processing power would allow DS games to expand, be more complex, and look a hell of a lot better than they do now. The report suggests that Nintendo is going to take the lid off this console in late 2010. The original DS was released way back in 2004. Thank God, 5 years. In Japan, and the technology was old then. Could 2010, 6 years later, bring about the next generation DS?
Probably not. I think they're working on it, but we won't see it till 2011.
I think maybe 12. I mean, the DS does, like, DS has got strong legs. It could go for a long time.
If the DSi wasn't as well, had been well adopted as it has been, then we would have seen something else. And with the misstep of the PSP Go, they're not going to let it. They're just going to let it go until...
The main challenger right now is Apple. Mm. That's sort of who they have to worry about a little bit.
I don't know, because, I mean, yes, there is the people who own both, and then some people are picking the iPhone, iPod, because they take it with them everywhere.
Yeah.
But then there's people who... And the main problem the iPhone has, when I say iPhone, I mean both, is that there's no button. It's that simple. You can put as many on-screen commands as you can, but most games that aren't specifically made for the iPhone, which they're great, will play like crap. I mean, this Duke Nukem 3D on it plays like crap. You know, I mean, World of Goo is coming to it, and I just can't see that.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Why isn't that coming to DSi?
Like Flight Control, made by Firemint on both now.
It's coming soon, isn't it? It's not out yet.
No, not out yet, but you know, yeah.
Looking forward to it. James?
I'm not really particularly...
Okay. Yep.
I'm trying to think of what I was going to say. The graphics on the DS were better. I mean, not that it... A lot of people would come...
They look good now.
Yeah, no.
They do 2D.
By other people's standards, a lot of people come into the store, like into a store, and say, which is better, the PSP or the DS? You explain to them, you know, DS may have worse graphics than the PSP, but the DS has much better games, bigger range of games. A lot of people still pick up the PSP because they think, wow, it looks so good, it must be better.
There's a few good games on the PSP, not really on the PSN store.
The good games on the PSP aren't 3D either.
Patapon, Locoroco, the new Pixel Junk Monster game.
Yeah, my point is that, if Nintendo can, if this chip does make it look, all their graphics look much better, it'll reach that niche of people who do value graphics more than other things.
There's a port of Project Gotham Racing going to the Zune, which has this chip, and someone said, I read, that it looks like an Xbox One, so...
What more powerful chip, what else do you think a new DS would have? Like, would it have analog controls or...
A multi-touch screen, for sure.
Yep.
One still, not two. Still have a cartridge-based format, but I think something more... They need to do something about piracy.
They're already sort of working on it with shutting people out. With the updates.
Yeah, DSiWare hasn't been cracked at all yet. It probably will eventually. You can't stop it. But, they need to do something like the PSP Go. At the moment, the PSP Go is completely locked. Can't pirate games, disc-based or download, because it doesn't have a disc for one, and you can't get into it.
It does have a memory slot on the side.
Yeah, I know.
They've got unsigned code running on it.
Yeah, but... At the moment, that's just code running on it. They'll get Homebrew working on it, no problem. But can they actually get,
Oh, yeah, that's how the original PSP started off, that's what I mean.
Yeah, it'll be cracked eventually, maybe, one day.
Do you really think that they are going to stick with cartridges? Because those cartridges, that's the problem, even back in the N64 days, cartridges do cost a lot to make, as opposed to a...
Not nowadays, look, a 16 gig SD card to buy is nothing, and to make it would be even less. 16 gig is huge. Most DS games now are 32 and 64, 128 megabytes, with the exception being, the 256, and I think Kingdom Hearts is the first gigabit card, which is, one gig.
Not PC as well. Arcade Sealed Heat or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ash.
Yeah.
That was a gig or 500 meg.
Has that come out of Japan yet?
Nah.
It probably won't.
Looking forward to, it's getting a bit like that. There's a few really good games that aren't coming out of Japan now, like that and Blood of Bahamut and all that.
Oh, there's a lot of good games coming out of America that aren't coming to...
Australia?
Yeah.
Well, no, that's easy enough. It's still in English, so I can still understand it.
Yeah.
As long as it's not a DSi and region locked.
Yep. I bought Classic Word Games on the DSi, and it doesn't work in my Japanese one, so...
Oh, yay.
No, it'd be
So multi-touch screen, more powerful analog stick at all, or am I the only one who's thinking that?
Nah.
Okay, no analog stick.
The D-pad is the signature. It might have one in addition to it, but I doubt it.
Yeah, Nintendo's never going to drop the D-pad.
Yeah.
That's Nintendo's D-pad. They invented the damn thing.
Yeah. I'd like to see, widescreen, at least for one screen.
Yeah.
That way there's more real estate for fingers and more gesture-based controls like the iPhone,
I think the screens are a good size right now. Any wider and you're going to make the system a lot larger. The DS is a perfect size for it right now.
Oh, well, I think you could get another inch on that screen wide and not have it impede onto... it doesn't have to be the bottom screen. It could be the top screen.
But that's an... I don't want the screen... the screen's a different size as well, sort of froze it. I like the nice symmetry of it as well.
Yeah, there is that too.
And just general a little bit about the story, the bit at the end, the DS technology was old in 2004 when it came out. That's sort of Nintendo's trademark, though, with a lot of the handheld stuff. Like, the Game Boy technology, when that came in 89, that was ancient. That was, 10-year-old technology.
Yeah.
So it's sort of what they do. But
they do
the next
cheap
GS
at the time, and basically to make money. They're a business,
Nintendo works in a cycle of revolution and evolution. The first one's going to be like the brand new interface. The next one up is going to be an evolution of that model to the next step.
Yeah, Wii HD basically.
Yeah, but I'm thinking 2012, 8 years after the DS. That's a very good lifespan for the system.
Yeah. 5 years is a long time.
Well, handhelds last a lot longer than consoles.
Yeah. They definitely won't go back to Game Boy after the DS, I tell you that.
It's a bit of a shame. Yeah. I mean, I'd still like to see the DS Virtual Console. I wonder if they're going to let us transfer DSiWare games to it.
No, that was the other thing that came out recently, that, you know, that you can't transfer purchases unless you give Nintendo the old console, and,
That's the one thing I like with Sony and Microsoft, because isn't you just make an account online and all your games are attached to that? But Nintendo's stuck in the past. Bit of news which just shouldn't really surprise anyone. Apparently Pokemon games equal money. Did you know that, Vuk?
Yes, I knew that.
Pokemon sells. But yeah, so Pokemon sells, and as Pokemon, some of the best role-playing games to ever grace the handheld, or just some annoying racing game starring Pikachu. We all know they sell, but we didn't know how much they sold. Stats released the other week tell us that the series has shifted 190 million games, making Nintendo over $24 billion. Do we know if that's Australian or US?
I think that is Australian because he converted it, yeah.
So, yeah, 130 million copies of these games have been the core game series. That's everything from Blue to Platinum, with the 60 million remainder being all the spin-off games like Snap, Stadium, and Pokemon Ranch. And it's not just the games that sell, but the card games have also sold 14 billion cards in over 40 countries, and as for the movie series, they have made over 680 million Australian dollars in Japan alone.
Yeah,
it's a money spinner.
And the Fed, it's got to die soon, right?
No. Nintendo Mario still sells.
Well, people keep buying up the game, so I don't see the reason why not.
I mean, I got no problem with the core series selling, but it's stuff like how much did Pokemon Ranch sell on WiiWare? I hope it didn't sell a lot, because that thing looked awful. And yeah. Pokemon Dash? Do you still have Pokemon Dash?
No, I sold that age.
The free copy, the one you won for Nintendo. But yeah, Pokemon equals money. In other news, the sky is blue and the sun is hot. You can take this one, Vuk, because you're the most keen on it. New Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
There's stuff that's come out about it that I don't really know of.
There was a round table in New York with Miyamoto, one of, you know, Nintendo America's events to make up the fact that they're not having an all-inclusive event this year. They're going to have like
not even a Japanese one?
No, I don't think we're going to get one. If anything happens, it'll be specifically for each game.
Okay.
I think it's like one part of cost-cutting measure and another part where we don't want to get people hyped up. I mean, we wouldn't want to be hyped up, would we? Basically, went through the game and a few things came out of it. One complaint was with New Super Mario Bros. On the DS, that was too easy. They've ramped up the difficulty even Bill Trennan and Miyamoto were playing and they died like straight away a couple of times. I had to restart on this stage. I'm not sure what stage it was, but there is obviously an increased difficulty there. There's also, they talk about the Super Guide, which is the demo play feature, which, yeah, it sounds like cheating to start with, and I can see it getting abused, but what it is it is actually, I think, a pretty smart idea, and they'll probably bring it to more games. So, when you die about 6 or 7 or 8 times on a stage, that you can play through the game as the game will play itself and show you the way out of the level. But, I mean, you can take control of it any time to get past one bit. It won't go through any secret parts or corridors or anything like that. And this is a good barrier, way to break down a barrier for casual players. I mean, some people, get to, you know, a point in the game and they can't get past it and they just stop playing the game. So some people only see, like, the first 25% of a game and then will give up on it because they get stuck on one thing.
Can you imagine how many people would have bought Mega Man 9 and then given up on the first level they played and not played it again?
Yeah,
I gave up on it after the demo.
Yeah, I bought it and then gave up after I played through each of the men.
I've beaten one robot master, Galaxy Man.
Yeah, nah, I gave up on it.
All I can do.
I'm not into Twitch platforming and shooting anymore. also, the packaging is going to be in a weird red color.
I don't get that. Why is that? That
I think it's basically because they want to burn into your eyes. No, but. Nintendo is...
It's because they want to make a Mario game sell and stand out from the rest.
I think... I'll have to say this. Nintendo Australia have to be applauded here in Australia because what they've done with the advertising of this game, they haven't advertised Mario's New Super Mario Bros. Wii at all.
But they've advertised Mario.
Yeah. So what they've done for the last 4 months is get the brand recognition there. And people have, most people have some sort of recollection or, you know, connection to a Mario game at some point in their life.
Yep.
And what this does is, when now they're going to go and announce this game, we'll get to that in a second, and go bam, and everyone's going to go like, oh look, new Mario, go buy it. The problem is, Nintendo has embargoed the release date. I'm not joking either. They had held an event on Thursday, and I know that there was bundles talked about there, I think, anyway, and we didn't go, but we know some people did. They talked about that. That's fair enough, that's embargoed, that's fine. But the release dates for this, the new Super Mario Bros. And Spirit Tracks, were embargoed. I mean, release dates for games that are coming out in less than a month, in new Super Mario Bros.'s case. I mean, come on. Tell the people when they can buy it, so people can get hyped. I mean, what's the point? What's the point of denying that? I mean, James, you got the release date for that, right?
Yeah.
And now people are saying it's the 19th, a week later. Why put the doubt in people's minds? And I mean, if we found out it was coming out the 15th, I mean, people would go pre-order. I mean, I know a lot of people are pre-ordering it for the hat already, but...
What hat?
There's a Mario Kappa EB.
Free hat?
Yeah. Free stuff equals pre-orders. But
God, if,
it had, if it had a release date, I would. This is because this is what I would do, and I would assume you guys would do too. Is you guys wouldn't import it if we were getting it within 3 or 4 days or a week after the US
or UK in my case.
Yeah, I mean, why that? It can just let people know that it's coming, and hello, we get some sales. I just don't get it.
It's Nintendo Australia.
Yeah.
And other than those two things, anything else sort of come out about it? I know it's like they've confirmed there's definitely no online mode.
Yeah, no online. They wanted. Or
do we know if it's going to get bundled with the Wii?
Is
that stuff we're not allowed to talk about?
I don't know.
I doubt it.
And also the Koopa Kids are back.
Yep.
Really?
That's awesome.
Yeah,
the Koopa Kids are back.
Oh my god.
I'm so happy about that. Also hearing how hard the single, because I'm probably not going to play it multiplayer, but hearing how difficult the single player is makes me interested in it again. I've been borderline about it. I've not bothered getting new Super Mario Brothers for the DS, just because I really can't be bothered. But hearing how full on the single player, if the single player does turn to be really hard, I'm definitely going to get it.
So this is basically going to be, there's going to be like 80 stages. Do we know if that's true or not?
As long as it's got as many as Mario World, it'd be fine, I guess.
Because it's going to be just like a Mario game, but four player, right? There's going to be like a few box battles and stuff.
Well, if it's going to have the it's going to have the 8 Koopa Kids and then Bowser at the end, so that's probably 9 worlds broken up into the way they are. Do we think this is going to sell more than Mario Galaxy?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, much more appeal as well. Like, I mean, this is like a personal example, but like, you know, my parents both loved the 2D Marios, and they hated like my Super Mario 64 and stuff because they thought it was too complex. So I think that's another, because then customers do come into a store and say, I don't like the 3D ones, they're too complex. And then I explain to them, you know, this one's coming out, you get a free Mario hat when you pre-order, and it's just like the old one, and you can play with your kids. And then that's just like instant appeal for them.
Yeah.
I mean, that sort of like blows. Like, I've never really thought of people who like Mario but not liking the 3D ones. But a guy at work, he says, oh, I didn't care much for Mario Galaxy, but I really enjoyed Super Paper Mario because it's just like a 2D Mario game.
Yeah, some people don't like the complexity of it.
Yeah, just when you hear stuff like that, it just sort of all makes sense why Nintendo's doing what it's doing. Two other pieces of news. Monster Hunter 3 is possibly going to be free to play outside of Japan. The word is that when it finally makes its way from Japan early next year is what it's initially slated for. It's going to be free to play the game online in Japan. To play the game online, you need to pay a monthly fee of Nintendo points. Do you know what that is, James?
What do you mean? Oh, the exact fee?
It'll be like 1,000 Nintendo points or something, probably.
It's something like that. I can't remember off the top of my head.
But yeah, so you need to pay a monthly fee of Nintendo points. However, due to the fact that the series is not as popular in the West as it is in Japan, Capcom is worried that the pay-to-play feature may be off-putting to some consumers. Also in Japan, Monster Hunter 3 does not use friend codes, and Nintendo has to maintain their own servers, hence the cost. Also, Capcom is looking at into implementing Wii Speak into the game for the Western release.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know if I'd actually get it. so.
What, you won't get it, or we won't?
Oh, the Wii Stick, I don't think we'll get it, so.
It makes sense for a game like that, where you're trying to organise attacking monsters and stuff.
Well, hopefully they do, but the first two games didn't have any kind of voice chat at all, which is,
yeah.
I mean, that was annoying, but, I mean, it's a matter of if they don't include it, people can just say, well, we're used to it, but hopefully they do implement it.
I mean, it's sort of different. Like, Japanese people seem to be a lot more understanding of playing online games. They know what needs to be done, whereas Western guys can be, well, we can probably be a lot more full-headed and not bother listening to other people and whatever. But with Wii Speak there, at least you can tell people what to do.
Yeah.
What about the pay-to-play thing? Do you think they're definitely going to drop that for Western?
I think that they have to. Monster Hunter, as, like, on a whole, isn't as popular. Like, I mean, they basically nailed it on the head when what Capcom said. It's not as popular in the West, and if people have to pay to play it, a lot of people aren't going to. I mean, I know two people, at least in Australia, that are actually going to buy a Wii when Monster Hunter 3 comes out.
And I'm definitely going to get the game when
it comes out. It's one of those games that it doesn't have a massive following, but the people who do follow it are really, really dedicated to it.
Yeah.
I mean, Capcom just opened up an art gallery in the UK, and there was, like, thousands of people rocking up to this art gallery, and it was just all Monster Hunter art. And they left it open for, like, a week and stuff, and it just people kept rocking up. It was weird.
I mean, I've only ever played the Monster Hunter Freedom Unite or whatever on the PSP. A little bit of that. I need to play more of it. But I'm really interested in this one. I mean, I wouldn't mind the pay-to-play thing. I mean, if it gets rid of friend codes and gives us stable servers and all that, I'd be fine with it, but I can understand the reasoning for not wanting to do it.
Yeah, that's true. But hopefully, I mean, because a lot of the appeal of the original game was that it offered a relatively deep experience for a cost of nothing. But now, they could always work on people's addictions to the original games and just get them to force them to pay, but I doubt they will.
And it's also that they are trying to, like, Monster Hunter games have only been Sony, and they kind of are trying to break into a new market with it on the Wii. I mean, there's probably a lot of Sony fanboys who got really burnt when they found out it was going to be Wii only.
Yeah.
So that's probably going to put off a few people. The last bit of news is some awesome news. Unfortunately, Anthony's not here to rave about it. Epic Mickey has finally been made official. Recent issue of Game Informer. Is Game Informer a proper magazine or is it an online one?
Magazine, but they put it online anyway.
Yeah, so they have some awesome cover art for the issue for the Epic Mickey game. Officially now, it's been developed by Warren Spector for Junction Point. I haven't actually written anything up for this yet. The game is going to be Wii exclusive. It was sort of a rumour going around that it was going to be on other consoles, but they've come out and said, no, it's only going to appear on the Wii.
Duck it, fanboys.
We'll get to that high thing on that in a second. The whole storyline in the game is going to be a lot of the old forgotten Disney characters are going to be rising up and trying to take over the world, warping it and making it look all twisted and all that.
And
Oswald the Lucky Rabbit, who was Disney's first creation, is going to be, like, the main antagonist in the game. Protagonist? Is it protagonist or antagonist?
Antagonist
in the game. Because he's all jealous of Mickey Mouse, who's risen to fame while everyone has forgotten who Oswald was. And Mickey is dead. So the world's been warped and all made with paint and all this crap. Mickey fights back with the art tool.
Because Oswald is apparently jealous of Mickey's life, so he tries to emulate it by creating robotic counterparts of the characters in Mickey's world, playing the concept art we've seen. I think, was it Goofy and Dumbo?
It was definitely Goofy. There was one of the whale from Pinocchio, I think, which had the Ascot Center on top.
Yeah, Epcot.
Yeah, Ascot. We'll have to go to Disneyland.
Yeah, I think it'll be really cool to see the mechanical versions of, like, the other characters. And I think there was another sketch release. It looks kind of like Hades from Hercules, or Maleficent from Sleeping Beauty, but like a kind of deformed version.
There's actually a bit of an interesting thing with the character Oswald the Rabbit. For a long time, like, he was Walt Disney's first, one of his first creations. For a long time, Disney Company did not actually have the rights to the game. And apparently the word is that they actually resecured the rights for Oswald for the game, which is pretty impressive. But yeah, so Mickey's going to, like, But yeah, so yeah, the game's, it's sort of going to be like a Kami, where you use the Wiimote to paint stuff, destroy enemies using paint thinner. There's going to be using all the art supplies as weapons, like erasers and pencils and all that. The game's looking really good. There's actually been some screenshots that have come out, and damn, do they look really good. They've gone for a really retro design in Mickey Mouse, harkening back to, like, the 40s with him. He looks really old school, and apparently his design's going to change as the game goes along as well. So I am really, really excited for this game. Hopefully Scrooge McDuck will be in it as well. Anyone else?
No, not really.
I'm not getting excited for it because I don't want to. I don't get excited for games anymore months out, or I just go, I want it now. So
it's definitely going to be a 2010 release, isn't it, at this stage?
For sure.
Probably Christmas 2010.
Yeah, fall they did, so which is now, next year.
It's too far away to get excited for.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just looking at those screenshots, and they just look so good. One thing that's really annoying about it, though, is just some of the fanboys going on about it for being a Wii-only game, that the Wii can't do it justice, and it just, every time a good Wii game comes out, they go, oh, it's great, but it's a Wii game, so I'm not going to play it. Why can't it be on my console? Which just really annoys me. And then they say the Wii has no good games. But I'm like, well, no, it's got Epic Mickey, it's got Monster Hunter, it's got The Blob, it's got Mario Galaxy. People really shit me.
Yeah. It's probably mainly just guys, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, it's not just that. It's a few podcasts and they're just dissonant. I think, yep, that's pretty much about it for the news. So we'll take another short break and be back with a little hot topic. And after that, finish the show up. Nintendo has a lot of great franchises. We usually, whenever a new Mario game gets announced that's not called Mario Party, we usually get really excited about it. The same for a new Metroid game, but it seems with a new Zelda game coming out with Spirit Tracks, no one seems to be really excited about it at all. What was Phantom Hourglass really that bad of a game that no one gives a crap about a new handheld Zelda these days?
I just don't think anyone's getting hyped for it because they don't know when it's coming, really. No, I mean, it's not the entire reason, but I don't know when it's coming out, so why should I get excited for it? I mean,
it is coming out this year.
When it comes out, and I'll get it. I'm not getting hyped for it because I didn't like Phantom Hourglass that much, and Nintendo keeps effing us around with Zelda, and they don't say anything on it. It's just kind of all anticlimactic, so.
I just remember that Zelda used to get so, even when Minish Cap was coming out, people were getting really amped up about that.
I mean, people are. I mean, look at all the, you know, the next gen one or whatever it's called, you know, New Zelda.
Which has got nothing said about it, though. All it's got is one picture of Zelda behind some chick who looks like a Master Sword.
Yeah, I mean, just getting these little clues is a pain in the butt.
Phantom Hourglass wasn't that bad. I mean, it had one or two few design mistakes. I mean, I personally didn't find the whole returning to the main dungeon thing that annoying. I kind of like that, but everyone else seemed to hate on it.
How could you like that?
Because as soon as you get to a certain point, it just says you can just jump to that point, and it's just pretty good for trying to do speed runs.
Yeah, but it takes, you know, hours to get to that point. That dungeon shouldn't have been that hard. What it should have been is one floor each time if you have to go back, not have to do it all over again.
Do you think that's also, or maybe another thing, is because it just seems to be a bit of a rehash of Phantom Hourglass and not really a new Zelda game?
People
seem to be down on it?
The train thing is different, and people are always worried about what's different.
The train looks a bit weird, I'll admit, but other than that, it looks pretty good. I mean, it looks like it's going to be out-Zelda'd by, like the same as last time a big Zelda game came out with Twilight Princess, and Okami out-Zelda'd Zelda. It looks like the same could happen now with Okamiden.
Yeah, I mean, Nintendo hasn't shared anything in Spirit Track, apart from one or two trailers. I mean, we don't know how the train's going to work or anything, so...
So would you say it's Nintendo's fault that no one's getting hyped about it?
Well...
Or it's just sort of a lot of stuff? I mean, it's as far as I'm considered, Zelda is the holy grail of Nintendo franchise. I mean, it never sells as much as a Mario or a Pokemon, but it seems to be the one that the hardcore fans cling to the most up until recently.
Yeah, that's because what they did is Twilight Princess was the same as Ocarina of Time. It was still an awesome game. I loved it. But then Nintendo just went sort of with Phantom Hourglass. Well, hardcore guys are going to buy it anyway. Why do we need to make, you know, that special? I didn't think Phantom Hourglass was all that special. It was a good game, but it wasn't awesome.
But you weren't too keen on Wind Waker, though, were you?
Me? And I hated the Triforce quest, but the rest of it was awesome.
Wasn't that bad. There was only 8 pieces of Triforce.
No, I loved Wind Waker, but I hated Phantom Hourglass.
I didn't finish Wind Waker for 3 years because of that stupid Triforce quest.
What about, I remember when they first announced, remember about Four Swords was originally going to be like Tetris Trackers or something?
Yeah.
And it came before, and that got announced, and people were hating on that just because they don't mind the funny party mini games being done with a Mario game. But as soon as you do that with Zelda, it gets people angry.
Yeah, mini games in my Zelda.
But Four Swords turned out all right.
Four Swords was good. Well, were you talking about the one on the Game Boy or the Cube?
Either or.
The one on the Cube had a problem. That was awesome, but you needed too much to do it. And they haven't even attempted to try it again with the DS. I mean,
it works so well with the DS, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and, you know, Nintendo actually does online now.
I'd love to see them make, like, a WiiWare Four Swords game that you could play online with WiiSpeak.
Yeah, but we're
awesome,
dreaming
though.
Now. I'll get Spirit Tracks, no doubt, and play it.
It's a Zelda game.
And probably finish it, as long as it doesn't have a stupid thing like Phantom Hourglass. I got up to like the third or fourth world with Phantom Hourglass and gave up because of the stupid temple. I mean, I can't even find my cartridge to go back. I'm not that disinterested in it. It's just too much there's too much other good stuff on the DS to play.
I mean, we've hated on Phantom Hourglass before because of the touchscreen controls.
Oh, you did that too as well. But
I mean, it's sort of a bit of a scribble noise touch for the sake of touch. I'll agree, it does work fine with the touchscreen controls, but I would have preferred had they had both options in there.
Yeah.
And then it did really good stuff with, like, the dungeons where you can't see the boss, but you could see from his point of view when he was attacking you and all that.
Mm.
All we know about Spirit Tracks is you're on a train and you can control a night guy, right?
Pretty much. That's about it.
I have to get hyped up about something that we don't know anything about.
I know. It just seems funny that a Zelda game is not... people are not really getting excited about. It just sort of baffles me, even though we know little about... Like, when Twilight Princess was first unveiled at that E3, and people... That was, like, 3 or 4 years out from it getting released. People were getting so hyped about it just from that trailer, and the hype never died down for it.
Yeah.
I know it's kind of different comparing a handheld Zelda to a console one.
The problem is Nintendo don't put on a show anymore. It's just awkward. What's there this year to get hyped about?
Metroid Other M?
No, that's not this year.
Oh, well, New Super Mario Brothers.
Two, but not in Australia.
Yeah, but not...
Sorry, what?
Not in even, you know, North America. Nintendo America haven't even said that, you know, that that's coming. I mean, why can't they confirm these things, give a relativistic or guess date, and get the wagon rolling? Oh, I mean, all they're going to do is another Excitebots, and that's going to fail. I mean, the latest IGN podcast said they know about a game that's, you know, A-caliber license.
Are they making another Excitebots?
What?
Are they making another Excitebots?
Oh, hell no. Oh, okay. That didn't sell enough.
Hasn't come out yet, that's not... Has it come out in UK?
No. No.
Damn it.
We got stitched on that one, and we'll probably get stitched on another code as well. But this is not really Zelda talk, so.
Well, it's just Nintendo in general.
Yeah.
Speaking of dates, do we know anything for Endless Ocean 2 when that's coming out?
No, probably never.
I'm actually interested in that one.
Yeah, see, there's like 10 games I could probably list if I wanted to.
I mean, I'm disappointed that, again, they're taking out the being able to import your own songs into the game like they did with Excitebots, but Endless Ocean 2, I didn't get Endless Ocean 1, but number 2 looks a lot better than the first one.
Yeah.
And sharks actually attack you and stuff, and you have to fight them off, and goes into lakes and stuff. I guess that's pretty it. It's just Nintendo being Nintendo, which it sucks that they do the right thing at 1E3 and they don't continue doing that.
Yeah, and this E3 was just awkward with the whole no crowd thing.
And they sort of did right with the other M trailer at the end.
Yeah, but...
but it's been too soon after the most recent Metroid game to really get people hyped about it.
The thing is, they admitted that they dropped the ball on that one, so...
I mean, where it worked with Zelda was that, as well, Wind Waker was an awesome game, like, people just hated on the style and the look of it. And then, so they did. They gave everyone what they wanted with a realistic-looking Zelda game. Whereas Metroid, I think people are generally satisfied with the Prime games.
Yeah.
And now this is just sort of, it looks cool, but it's sort of an interesting move that people are a bit confused about why that didn't really pay off as much as the Twilight Princess trailer did.
Mm.
Man, I can still remember watching that trailer for the first time, eh?
Yeah, I remember when they put the Twilight Princess trailer on the DS cartridge and gave it away. E3. I still have one of them.
My jaw just dropped the first time I saw the new Zelda trailer.
Yeah.
Because it just looks so good. I really should play Twilight Princess again. Okay.
Yeah, move on.
Yeah, I don't know, a bit of a weird one, just something I just sort of had on my mind. We've got to wait for a lot of news anyway. So yeah, be back after another quick break with a bit of site going-ons and wrap-ups and I think somewhere is celebrating a birthday. We might need to pimp up a little bit. So we'll be back after another break to wrap this shiz up. You run the site. What's been going on?
Oh, not too much. Just the usual.
Okay. Any good features on the site lately?
A couple.
Care to go in depth about them?
No, you can do that.
Okay, fine. We had our good mate Bernie, Josh Moulds, whatever we decide to call him, did a feature on the 6 months on, is the DSI worth it?
Short answer is yes. There's a lot of DSI haters out there. Some of them might have a valid point on some things, but otherwise they just hate it for the sake of hating it. Good article on it, basically going through all the bits in the DSI wear, all that. You know, is it worth to buy now? And I mean, not everything's good. I mean, the region locking thing is going to be a problem, obviously. But we'll have
that annoys me the most, that Nintendo's actually done that.
Yeah. We've got a hands-on with a boy in his blob, which is the...
That sounds dodgy.
anyway. The hug button is awesome. You have to try it out. I've got Mario and Sonic at the Winter Olympic Games competition going on as well. Two copies of that and some badges. Have to win. Scribblenauts competition was drawn as well.
Have the winners all been told about it?
Yeah, story's still on the homepage for that if you want to check out. Some people did some good drawings and wrote in some good stories for that one. And, cool. Yeah.
A couple of reviews we've got up. We got the latest Monkey Island, Lair of the Leviathan. That's not out in WiiWare yet, is it?
No, of course not.
Have we had number 2 yet?
Yeah.
That's right. I played number 1, hated it, because they phoned it in. Reviews, we've got, I think, did we have the Curse, how long has Curse Mountain been up there?
A month at least now.
We got our stock yesterday for that game.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Curse Mountain, it actually came out yesterday in Australia. Okay. So.
Yeah, I saw it there.
Yeah.
Is it good?
Yeah, I really liked it. I mean, I've had a bit of time to get over it a bit because I was really into it when I first played it. It does have a few flaws, which I go over in the review. But if you like your horror games and you love your atmosphere in games, it's definitely worth picking up.
So not for me then. Also, yeah, it's a Dead Space Extraction review, Scribblenauts. James did a review of Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, and coming out this weekend is Rock Band Beatles and Metroid Prime Trilogy reviews as well.
So James did a review for Kingdom Hearts 179 Days.
Right.
Because if you divide 358 by 2...
You can't divide that.
Yes, it is.
Not evenly, anyway.
What else? And, oh, hang on, isn't there a site, Birthday, that's just... Some internet site's had a birthday. It's like 9 years.
Yeah, just a small one.
Can you think of anything for James?
No.
Was it Anthony's GoldenEye page? No, that's older than that.
No, actually, it's not. That's
Oh, really? Okay.
No, it probably actually is.
Looks older.
Yeah. No.
Eco Gamer.
October 16th is 9 years of Vuk. Did a small article about rather than the history. Because, I mean, most people know that, and I think we did that the year before last, and there's been 9 of them, so it's like, can't do it every year. This one's more of a what happens every day on the site, the news, the reviews, the podcast, you know, dealing with other game companies and Nintendo themselves, and a little bit of how the sites run, and the graphics and the system behind it, and, you know, a bit about me, and just some thoughts I wanted to share. With people, you know, I mean, people come to our site all the time and, you know, wanted to get my thoughts down and tell people, you know, not everyone knows what goes into the site and how long we've been doing it. I mean, lots of people visit every day but don't know. I mean, lots of the people, the guys who helped me out and me sacrifice a lot to do the site. I mean, I stay up at, you know, God only knows what time to do things and fly internationally and interstate and just spend basically my whole day doing the site. I mean, when I'm not at work, I mean, even sometimes at work. So, I mean, just want to let people know, you know, that we do care what we do. You know, we don't just do it for a paycheck because we don't get any money at all. And we don't actually care because we do it because we like Nintendo and like doing it and helping and letting people know.
I remember, like, just for the amount of work you put in the site, I remember when you were getting this new version of the site done and you put so much work into that. You, like, were busy all the time.
Yeah, basically I spent a year building it, or more. It ended up being more than a year. And, I mean, every day after work spent doing on it, and, I mean, most of the custom, the CMS was all built already, but getting it to what I wanted it to be like, and I had to design it, and I got it to how I wanted the site to be, and eventually we got that way, so...
It's really paid off, because it's definitely a lot better than any design we've had in the past.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm still working on things now, but due to time, I haven't been able to put them live yet. I've got a couple of things, small updates to put in, just to make the site, you know, change, so keeps it fresh for you guys, for the listeners and the readers of the site, you know, because I'm learning new web things all the time, so.
And we really appreciate the work you put into it. You've made a great site.
Thanks.
I think everyone listening, if you want, just sign up the forum and say thanks to Vuk. I'm sure there's a thread around somewhere.
Yeah, just comment. If you just have a read of my article and you don't have to say thanks. I don't need it, so.
Well, it's always nice to hear it.
Yeah, but, yeah, read my article and get it inside to what we do here. I mean, we're not just a blog who rambles on every day, and we do put some heart into it.
Awesome. Yeah, that's pretty much about it for this week, month, whatever. We almost made it regular bi-weekly.
Almost.
Almost. Just one last thing I just probably should mention. I think this comp is still current, isn't it? The Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games?
Yeah, I mentioned it 5 minutes ago.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay. Before he zoned out. But yeah, that comp's still there. Go to the front page, sign up for it. You can win some emo pins and stuff.
Emo? What?
They are emo pins.
Oh, don't be mean. Badges aren't emos.
They are so.
You just now insulted all the emos out there.
I can't talk. I've played the World Ends with You.
Oh.
I'm down with the emo pin culture.
Stereotyping, aren't you?
At least I'm not going off against Koreans or French people anymore.
Well, it's time for our blackface routine, isn't it?
Actually, so what? We're episode 48. We're almost at episode 50. Should we do something special for episode 50 coming up?
Definitely.
We'll think about it. Put our thing hats on. I might announce.
Yeah.
I don't know. Might do a reader question special because that's boring. I don't know. We'll talk more about it next episode of the Vookcast. But for now, that's it. So for me, James and Vook, thanks for listening. Thanks for being here, James and Vook.
No problem.
And thanks for sweltering through Perth's 37-degree heat we're having. I think James is now just a puddle right now.
I mean, to be honest, it's not that hot, but it's the first day it's been hot.
For a long time.
Yeah.
Are you doing all right there, James?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll finish it up now, and until next time, we'll catch us later.
Bye.
James, say goodbye.
Bye, everyone.
We are the Playmomen.
Oi, there's new Kirby plushies.
New what?
Where?